that the Lord has made, and amen. Thank you, Lord. We will be glad. Hallelujah.
Oh, glad is such a good word, they even named bags after them. Hallelujah. See-through, no less. Oh, man, that's bad. You told me I was supposed to be on my best behavior today. There might be guests in the house, so I guess I better watch out. Are you glad?
Yeah.
Aren't you glad you're glad?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Jesus that made you glad?
Yes.
Yes. My goodness. Where else could we come and just talk about his goodness to all of us and praise him and thank him for every day we wake up, his mercy's new.
Amen.
Already got your day covered with his mercy and his grace that he pours out, his unearned, unmerited favor. Did you know everywhere you go, you just walk in his favor? Can't earn it. Can't buy it. Can't find it anywhere else but the throne room of grace. And it's abundant to all of us. And I'm so thankful for that. And I'm thankful that he teaches us to extend it to one another as well. Gosh, where would we be without it? That's why it's called amazing, right, Jen? Amazing. It's amazing grace, yes. Well, this morning, there should be at least a few testimonies of God's goodness to you this week. Does anybody have a testimony of something good that God has done for you this week? Praise God. Next one's yours, Peggy. Yours is coming. Thank you, Lord. Previews of coming attractions. Yes, indeed. Someone else. Thank you, Lord. Kind of a parable there. We must never lose sight of the cross. Thank you. Let's pray now. Father, we thank you. Lord, there are so many promises in your word concerning helping the poor and the hungry and the needy. And we thank you that that is the heart of Christ himself. So Lord, we lift up our sister this morning, and we thank you that your eyes are searching to and fro to find an appropriate piece of land and the resources necessary to build a building that will house more food, more of the needful things that there's a lack in the community. We thank you that there'll not be a lack of resources, a lack of funding. We thank you that you will call laborers alongside of her to help in this vision, to cause it to come to pass. And we thank you that it's a selfless desire that she has. And we thank you for all the helpers that you will give her. And we thank you that many, many more people will be blessed because of her heart, and so filled with the love of Christ that she just wants to give away everything that you've given her to be a blessing to somebody else. So we stand and unite our faith together, and we release it together in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. We have another, did I see another hand somewhere? No? Okay. We have a wonderful blessing to come into just before Huggy break. These two brave little ladies that got baptized yesterday have something they'd like to share with all of you. So this is their moment. This is their gift. And let the love of the Lord shine through them into your hearts.
To touch the hem of his garment. made whole. And how I have pressed my way through this madness. And His love has healed my soul. Then with one word He touched the hem of my garment. And you know I've been made whole. And somehow He pressed His way through my madness. And His love has healed my soul. I tell you, He touched me. He reached way down and touched me when no one else would touch me. My Jesus really touched me. And I know I've been made whole.
That is a hard act to follow right there. Awesome. Well, you know, that was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful setup for our morning opening scripture this morning. It comes from the book of Acts, chapter 10 and verse 38. And you see how that song just kind of leads right up to this Jesus who had the knack of touching the untouchable. Those that didn't think they were worthy of His attention. That were shunned by society, looked down upon. But that's not the way Jesus is. He came for everyone. Scripture this morning is how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. This is so important to realize that Jesus didn't come just to walk the streets and be cool and do what He wanted to do. People realized that there was a power in His life that caused the sick to be made whole, that caused the downcast and the downtrodden to be lifted up and encouraged. That song that the girl sang was about the woman with the issue of blood. And many of you remember that account from Mark chapter 5 and how she crawled through the crowd if she might just reach out and touch Him. And she didn't care about what people thought of her. Sometimes you've got to get beyond what people might think of you because you have a need and you reach out in faith and touch Jesus' garment. And you got to get beyond what other people might think of you. But it says we all admit that He had the power to do those things. But what I'd like to focus on this morning is the fact that those of you that are born again, born of the Spirit, you have the power too to minister to hurting people in your life, in your workplace. Wherever you go, there are people that you know that are hurting, that are going through a hard time. Maybe sick, maybe discouraged, maybe disappointed, maybe lost a job, maybe lost a loved one. There is power available on the inside of each one of us as believers to do something about that situation. The word says, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Oppressed means that they were down, downcast. They were under the power of, they were under the influence or controlled by demonic forces. Jesus came that they would be set free. Jesus came that we would be free. Jesus came to forgive us for all of our sins, to enter our name in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. And it's wonderful. It's nice to have our name in the paper once in a while. if it's a good story. But to have our names in the Lamb's Book of Life in heaven where it really matters, that's the greater thing. And it says, for God was with him. God is with each one of you as a believer. And you have so much to offer. You have so much to give to be a blessing to others. You carry his presence. You carry his nature. You carry his power. Look around you. Don't be selfish with your faith. Look around you and see where you might find a place to release that which is on the inside of you. That's what the Lord has called us all to do. We are his body. We represent his kingdom here on this earth. When people see you and they see me, it's God's desire and his will that they look beyond the outside and they see the real Christ-likeness inside of each one of you, so that when you see a need, you have the power and the authority to release the power of God and make a difference in somebody's life. It might be just to put a smile on somebody's face, offer them a Kleenex and a hug and a prayer, little things that mean a lot to the Lord. They go a long ways. So today, just remember that song that you heard this morning by two brave little ones that were shaking in that cold water yesterday, huh, Allie? I only went in up to my belly button and that was enough for me. It was cool. But thank you for your bravery and your wonderful song this morning. That was very nice. And we appreciate that so much. And if you think that was easy, we're looking for volunteers next week. In the meantime, take a few minutes and greet each other. This is a huggy, lovey church, and enjoy the next few minutes and say hi to our visitors. We'd like to go back and refresh us where we left off a few weeks ago from Colossians 1:10. And we're not finished with that verse yet. There are four key parts to it. Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful and increasing in the knowledge of God. Four key things in that verse of scripture that should be in our hearts, that we should desire these things. And this is a prayer that Paul prayed for the church at Colossae, to the Colossian believers. And we've spent quite a few Sundays already talking about that you might walk worthy of the Lord. We talked about the value system that we have as believers, what now takes on worth, what has value. How much is your walk with God worth to you personally? And only you can answer that. How much is it worth to you? That will affect your walk. That will affect your relationship with Him. If you don't value your walk with God, then you'll find that you take shortcuts. You'll take sidesteps. You'll avoid every opportunity that you might have to come and be in His presence. You'll always put Him second instead of first place, or most of the time. But when you know and understand that each one of us, our walk costs Jesus Christ His life, it puts a higher value on that walk. And that we would walk unto all pleasing. We studied about all the things that please the Lord, the things that don't please Him. We related that to when you spend a lot of time with someone, you know the things that make them happy or that please them, and you know the things that don't. And if you're in a marriage, that's one of the quickest ways to find out, isn't it? Because you just might get blessed with a brick. If you're not doing things continuously in your heart that you know make that other person with you in that relationship happy, glad, satisfied, pleased with your behavior towards that other person, and it works both ways. Works in families, teaching our children what it means to do things that please the Lord, but it usually starts with mom and dad. And moms and dads are supposed to represent the authority or the headship of Christ in our homes. So those are very important ways of looking at that. And today, I want to come into the third part, being fruitful in every good work. On Wednesday nights, we've been studying the Gospel of Matthew probably for more than a year. And we came across the Pharisees, very religious leaders in their day, and they tended to relate good works as something to draw attention to themselves. I brought a picture one day of a phylactery to you, and we put it up on the screen where you could see that they thought if they would wear that box of God's commandments on their forehead, all the people would say, "Oh, look at those holy people." Or they'd even wear it on their wrist or on their right arm so that when people would see them, they would look at them and say, oh, those must be very holy religious people. And it was all about drawing attention to the outer man. And when they fasted, they would get these really long faces to where their faces would just sink in. They'd mess their hair up and just make it look like, "Oh, I'm suffering for the Lord. Wish I had some lunch, but I can't because I'm fasting." And just get this really sad countenance upon themselves to draw attention that, "Oh, I'm serving the Lord." Well, if you're serving the Lord and it's that bad, don't send him my way, because I ain't looking like I want that if that's what's happening to you guys. You know, every once in a while I tell you, you know, when you say you got the joy of the Lord, you better send your face an email. You know, don't let it be just everything on the outside. What's going on in here? And their prayer garments, they would have these shawls for prayer, and to make themselves look more holy and outwardly seeking the pleasure of people rather than the Lord, they would actually extend the borders of their garments or their prayer shawls to make it look like they were more holy than everybody else. You see, that's where that phrase came in the unsaved world, that don't make yourself holier than me, you know, that holy kind of thing, and that was all outside. It had nothing to do with the heart. Inside, their hearts were far from the Lord. So we come to this issue about good works, being fruitful. It means being productive. But I don't want to give the implication that we're so busy being busy that we don't have time for the Lord. Some people make idols out of their goodness, out of their good gifts and out of the good things that they do. You can almost make an idol out of those things. And that's what the Pharisees did. They almost made an idol out of their outward worship of the Lord, but yet in their heart, because Jesus is always concerned about what's going on in here. So being productive, being successful, bountiful, of benefit to the kingdom of God and to all others. And that's where the real test of the works that we're called to do. Now, we don't do good works to gain favor with God. We do good works because the Holy Spirit in us shows us that there are things in the kingdom of God that God wants us to be about doing. And so it tends to come now from inside rather than outside. And that's a very important distinction, because it has to do with motives. Sometimes we'll do something just because somebody says do it, and we'll just do it. But if we do it because we're forced to or because we have to, then there's no blessing in that. We just do it because somebody said do it. I'd rather be asked than told, but if you tell me to do something and if it glorifies the Lord, I'd be the first to do it, and I wouldn't question why you told me to do it. Because in my heart, I want to serve the Lord. Even when I paint, I want to glorify Him in my work. I want to glorify Him in the things that I do outside of this building. This is just where we meet. You see, all of these things that we've talked about carry us every day of our lives, not just today, not just Bible study nights. These are every day. What's going on in here? And how is that relationship with God prompting us or motivating us to do good to others, to grant grace and forgiveness and mercy and compassion, to speak well of others, not to tear them down? I'd like you to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This was a very, very interesting verse of scripture because I believe the Lord will show us something valuable out of this that we can take home today. It would be a tragedy that we all came together and said, well, we had a little prayer and sang a few songs, but nah, we didn't really get a whole lot out of it. But this is important because it affects all of us in the body of Christ. What people see when they see us. What do they hear when they hear our words? What does our life mean to others? More importantly, what does it mean to the Lord? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Nevertheless, the foundation of sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. So you don't have to make any judgments about anybody. The Lord knows those that are His. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That means as best as we can, flee from things that are going to separate us from the Lord. Flee from those things that don't glorify Him. Verse 20, but in a great house there are vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, excellent to honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. So let's break this down a little bit. A great house, the kingdom of God, the family of God, the body of Christ, that's a great house. And all of us together, we're just a little speck. Those of us that meet here, we're just a little speck compared to the size of God's kingdom. There are believers all over the world, just about every country you go to, you can find believers. And that's a great house. But Paul wrote to Timothy and said, in that great house, there are vessels of honor, of gold and silver, and vessels of dishonor. Basically wood, hay, and stubble, if you will. And as I thought about the contrast between the two, it really made me think about that. Because in our value system, we value gold, we value silver, we value precious metals. And if I had a bar of gold in my garage next to a piece of wood for my fire, I probably would think rightly that the gold was worth more than the firewood. However, if that was the only stick of wood I had and it was 20 below zero, I'd really think that the wood would have more value. However, in this little comparison, in the body of Christ, there are vessels of gold and silver, and there are vessels of wood and earth. What is the difference? I don't know if you've ever read this verse in this context, but it brings to mind the fact that even though a vessel is of wood and earth, it is still a vessel and it's still in the kingdom of God. The difference is this. The vessel of honor or the vessel of gold and silver are those who minister or serve by the Holy Spirit and really demonstrate what God is like. That's important. Because the person who is a vessel of gold or silver or a vessel of honor, their main thought is glorifying the Lord in my life. In your case, in your life. So the tendency is being more attentive to revealing what he's like to others. And it doesn't mean running up and sticking your finger in somebody's face and saying, "Thus saith the Lord," kind of deal. It means living it out on a daily basis. It means demonstrating what God is like by the way we conduct ourselves out in the public, whether it's in our workplaces or in our homes or bowling on Sunday nights for some of us. Because over a period of time, people are going to put more credibility in what we have to say if they see consistency in our lives. It's like living and being drawn and directed by the Holy Spirit. And this prayer that Paul prayed is a growth process. We don't arrive at these places overnight. It takes time. So, being more attentive to what God thinks about us, being more attentive to making others aware of what he's like. The vessels of dishonor tend to live selfishly. They're kind of like a, they don't know yet, maybe they have not learned that it's not about living after the flesh. Flesh is selfish, it's never satisfied, you know that. Put a plate of brownies on the table and I'm not satisfied until they're all gone. While you could substitute whatever the things are that you like. They never satisfy. You want more, you want more, you want more. Money? Well, money you can buy up until you spent it all and then you want more to get more stuff. Shoes. Never mind, don't throw anything yet. I'm almost finished for today. But by living your life by how you feel, your five physical senses, living like it's exterior, it's not from inside. Gosh, I can't tell you how many times you call someone up and say, "Would you like to do this or would you like to do that?" And I'll say, "Well, depends on how I feel." And I say, "Man, it's only Sunday. I'm asking you about next week. Don't you have time to feel better by then? Do I have to make an appointment all the time? What's with this? Did you know before we were saved, we'd just show up at each other's houses? Party down, man. Now we have to make an appointment and call it wisdom. We're so busy being busy." But this is talking about being led by our five physical senses and how shallow that is, but we don't know any different in the beginning. That's why it's important to learn what God expects of us from his word, because we're all on this journey, we're all on this walk in our relationship with him. And it's important because the nifty thing about this is you get to choose what kind of vessel you're going to be. That isn't up to God at all. That's our choice. But I can tell you that when we're led by our flesh, we don't hear God very clearly in that state. Any major decision in your life, do you get all fidgety and anxious and panic and nervous and fearful and stressful and, you know, a wringing of the hands and then make your decision based on how you feel about a situation? Or you base your decisions on only the things that you know about a situation or how they appear to you. Man, if I said, "Okay, everybody with false teeth, take them out," you'd be shocked. See, not everything is what it appears to be. So you don't want to make your decisions based on those things, okay? They can be very deceiving. But the Spirit of God will never lie. He will never deceive. He will never trick you or con you. You just live your life after Him. Let Him lead you what to do, where to go, who to speak to, what to speak. Does it mean having to learn to keep my mouth closed from time to time? Oh yeah, I can make a big mess quick. No, we just got to get that last word in, and that's not the Lord anymore. Because you know what happens? God gets quiet. He says, you want to do all the talking? Go ahead, make a fool of yourself. I'll just sit back and let you do it. Remember, our tongue is like the rudder of a ship. Anybody ever go on a cruise? Yeah? Did you ever see how small the rudder is? No, because it's under the water. But it turns that gargantuously huge 5,000-passenger ship with a little tiny rudder. Can you imagine what chaos our tongue can create as the smallest portion of our body, but it controls and dictates our whole walk and way of life. Ruled by feelings, emotions, and senses. To be led of the Spirit is to face a situation like and go before the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, would you show me, please, what you would have me do today? Are there things that are important to you, Lord, that I can adjust my day planner? Because, Lord, if you don't show me, I'm going to plan my whole day. And then at the end of the day, I'll find I planned it so well, I didn't have time for you, Lord. I'm sorry, and now it's time to go to bed, and I'm really sleepy. See, when we live after the Spirit, or vessel of gold or silver, we put a high priority on that walk with God. And we're more concerned about how God feels about a situation and what He wants us to do. He has far greater choices in our life than we do. And you just think about walking in faith as we just do it because it's right. And we don't always know how the day's going to turn out. But it's far wiser to seek the Lord about decisions that we make. Even in the morning, if all you got is a few minutes on the way to work, Lord, direct my steps today. I'm going to trust in you with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding, and in all my ways I will acknowledge you, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Even if that's all you have time to do, but if you really mean that, God will honor your day a lot better than if you just wing it on the way to work. You know, winging a prayer. You'll find that your day will go so much better. The quality of the time that you're awake will be much better because you'll be keenly aware of what does the Lord want with me today, because all of us belong to Him and we serve Him not out of bondage, not because we have to, but because there's an inner desire down in here that we want to. And that's what makes the difference between a vessel of gold and a vessel of wood. Gold, when it's tried in the fire, gets purer. Wood, when it's tried in the fire, burns up. So the fleshly things aren't going to profit us as much as the things that we do that are led by the Spirit of God from inside. So I'll close with that. Just food for thought today. And take it with you. And try it the rest of the day and see. Try it tomorrow in your workplace. And just watch people warm up to that glow that you bring. That presence that they don't have yet. If you have your wall-to-wall God inside, let somebody see Him. And as we always do at the end of the service, we give every person an opportunity to be prayed for. If there are things that you need prayer for, we don't want you to go home without that opportunity. And we love to send you out with God's favor and blessing on your life. And it's a joy to pray for those things that you have need of.